Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. As you know, public media is in a post-rescission world. With the loss of federal funding, public radio and television stations face big new problems and maybe new opportunities. Today we're going to be talking with Maria O'Mara, Executive Director of PBS Utah and KUER, and Gavin Dahl, Executive Director of KRCL. We're going to ask how the system as a whole is being affected, as well as how our individual stations are doing. We'll talk about what's being tried, what can be done to move into the future. And we're joined now by Maria O'Mara. Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. And hopefully we'll be joined soon by Gavin Dahl here. I think you guys just went through your regular fund drive.
We did. It was one that was a really high stakes fund drive for us. We did have a fund drive literally in the hours after Congress voted on rescission. And we had a very successful drive in the middle of July. We were wondering how that would affect, however, our regularly scheduled fall fund drive, which was already on the books for next week. But we saw just an outpouring of continued support for the kind of news and information that NPR and NPR stations provide. So we feel a lot of community support in this moment.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, we were wondering the same thing. Would the emergency drive affect the regular drive? We're in the regular drive right now, so we're receiving that data as we speak. Maybe talk to the system as a whole. You know, both PBS and NPR and stations nationwide. I have heard of at least one or two stations going dark. That's the fear, right?
Of course. Yeah. And I do think it's important to talk about television. A lot of people don't know, but the Broadcasting Act of 67, radio was actually a bit of an afterthought. This was primarily a TV-focused initiative to provide federal funding for public broadcasting. And radio was added and has been a very important part ever since. But public television, you know, I think probably has the greater sort of brand awareness PBS does throughout the country. Obviously, a larger reliance on federal funding than NPR stations have, broadly speaking. I want to remind your listeners how this all started, right? We look at 1967 as a time when there were limited networks. There were very small stations, primarily were educational. These ones we're going to talk about today were educational in nature. I think we saw in the Johnson administration and the Congress at that time a sense that the way commercial television was going had some gaps, let's put it that way. And one of those areas was children's programming. So there wasn't a lot created in commercial television in the 60s uniquely for children. And there was also a sense that television didn't reflect the way America looked. And so the Broadcasting Act of 1967 asked specifically for this small amount of federal funding set aside to make sure that on that nonprofit end of the dial, there was some dedication to unserved audiences. And that is the ethos we've carried with us all along, right? Is that we see a gap in the commercial marketplace that we are able to fill, doing things that probably could not return the sort of profit that commercial television and radio would want.
So with that history, and that's decades of history, right? This is a big blow to the system. I want you to talk about not only the stations, right, but how this is affecting NPR and PBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. In terms of NPR, it's only 1-2% of their budget that comes directly from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, but stations like ours and yours, Tom, rely on this federal funding that helps us to be able to stay on the air. We pay dues to NPR for our programming, but that is not the single source, largest source of expenditures for us. Most of our budget is spent on people, local news, local information, local hosts. And so, you know, the federal support I always thought as somewhat foundational to our stations. PBS received it up until lately. I'm still thought saying it in the past tense, even though it clearly is. Quite a bit of funding directly from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Also, PBS is unique in that they don't actually create programming. It's actually the larger television stations throughout the country that do that. And then PBS is assisting in that distribution and that connection to other stations. So I think I have these numbers right, but I believe television stations kind of on average lost about 15 to 20% of their budgets with the loss of federal funding, and radio stations lost, between like maybe 8 and 15%, so a little less.
We're now joined by Gavin Dahl. Sorry about the Zoom problems, Gavin. KRCL. I'll just ask you to ask Maria Amara here. How's KRCL doing?
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Tom. Can you hear me okay with these
Yes,
earbuds?
yes.
Great. I'm normally in the studio, but I'm on my laptop and my desk today. I am really honored to be on with you and Maria. I feel like Utah's public radio and public television scene is so vibrant, and it's been your question about KRCL. It's been very worrisome to all of us how these federal funding cuts could impact staffing, the services that we provide, and the communities that we serve. We don't have the same challenges that each of you have in terms of trying to reach a more statewide audience, covering so much geography from a technological standpoint, from an engineering standpoint. That's so much work. And yet for us, we just went through our fall radiothon. Very, by the way, listeners, coincidental that KBR and KRCL scheduled them at the same time. We did not
Sometimes
coordinate
we,
that.
yeah, sometimes we work that out. Other times we
But your supportive listeners' support of UPR right now is literally more important than ever. I mean, you look back my entire lifetime, I'm in my 40s, and for others even further back, of course, this is truly unprecedented to have bipartisan support from Congress for public broadcasting funding rescinded. I mean, it's a very unique and strange thing, and to have a politician threatening other members of Congress with primaries to support this was really very unusual. But for KRCL, our fall radiothon surpassed our wildest dreams. When I arrived here 3 years ago from Colorado, KRCL had over 3,000 members, but under 4,000 members. And today we sit at 4,384 members for the first time in many, many years. And so, the hope is that all around the country, listeners and viewers of public broadcasting will step up in the face of these challenges. And I just think UPR's work to bring not only national and international perspectives, but really statewide perspectives, your longtime partnership with the former station KCPW in Salt Lake is a great testament to that. And our own collaboration with The Music Never Stopped, John Florence, our longtime morning guy, began producing that show for UPR last year, and it's been, a hit with listeners. I think it's pe important people keep in mind KCPW did not make it, and that wasn't just federal funding, but that was, a combination of other factors. And I don't think that our stations are in danger of turning the lights off and going home, but these are dramatic impacts. And supporting UPR with a contribution today, right now, is literally one of the most significant things you can do to listeners can do to keep this going. I think I take deep pride in being a supporter of each of these stations, as well as the little KZMU community shop in Moab, because I know that my dollar goes a long way. I mean, we are just now preparing our 990 from 2024, and I feel really good about the process that CPB built, that we had this routine of doing independent financial audits, and that we know that every dollar we spend will be looked at, scrutinized. And that's a good thing. It's more work. In some ways, it would be nice to not have to do all that, but it's a way that we can show our listeners, our viewers, that they can trust us. And again, it's not just about these brands, NPR, UPR, KUER, PBS Utah, et cetera. It's also about the people. And I will think about, Tom, the work that you and Carrie have done for so many years. I mean, I think of you guys as legends in Utah broadcasting. I know you don't have that type of an ego, but Maria manages so many people. I mean, the talent in these shops. For me, we have 8 full-time staff at KRCL, and I've been able now, thanks to this fall radiothon, to say, in our case, that we do not have to make staff cuts on the first of the year. But this is widespread all across the country right now. People are not able, you know, managers are having to make really tough decisions. And so obviously listeners can prevent a lot of those negative impacts from losing this funding by making that call.
And since you brought that up, Gavin, thank you. 800-826-1495 to support UPR, 800-826-1495 or upr.org, upr.org. We are now joined by Sarah Irvin from KPCW. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And sorry for the confusion and the Zoom problems there, but we've got you on now. How's KPCW doing in this post-rescission world?
So similarly to KUER and KRCL, we held our most recent fund drive a couple of weeks ago and had similarly done an emergency fundraise in July upon the news of rescission of our federal funding. And in both cases, we did see an incredible increase in support from our local donors, folks who had, you know, maybe typically been dollar or donors at the $50 a year contribution, stepping it up to $75 or $100. And that kind of increase really made a difference for us. You know, we're all trying to ensure that we don't have to have staff cuts, we don't have to have programming changes. And the reality is that by having those programs continue, it means that local connection that we all seek to provide. Of course, we are part of this national network, being member stations, well, KUER and UPR and KPCW with NPR, but most of what we do is very local and very relevant to our communities at home, which is why it's so valuable to see that increase in support from folks in those communities.
I just want to go around the panel. I'll start with Maria Amaro with this as well. This can be an opportunity, I suppose, right? I know that all of our stations have talked about, you know, increased collaboration and such. What kinds of things are you brainstorming to try to help with this?
Well, I think we have to ask ourselves a really fundamental identity question. Our federal funding was part of what made us public television and radio. And so I sometimes think about how the loss of that funding might affect our decisions in the future. And one of the things that, you know, PBS Utah and KUER are hoping to really lean into is our engagement individually, one-on-one with our audience. That is also part of our identity as public media. We have an advantage, I said before, goes right back to our history. Our job is not to deliver the biggest possible audience to an advertiser. Our job is service, and it is a little old fashioned and a little, like I said, like kind of one at a time. But we are looking to take this as a moment to really talk about and invest heavily in engagement with our audiences. We have this enormous audience of children, right? So by and large, that is the biggest audience of any public media anywhere in the state. So we have 4 million streams of PBS Kids every single month in Utah. So
my family's one of those, Maria. We love PBS Kids. But you're right, I think it's easy for users not to think about putting their money where their ears are, or money where your eyes are. And PBS Kids is free. There's no paywall. And so just like all of our stations, we provide these services to everyone, right? Regardless of means. But it's so important for those who have means to step it up right now. And, you know, we had a board member come down with a challenge at the end of July after the congressional vote and said, I'm doubling my monthly contribution. And I encourage others to do what they can. Not everyone can afford to do that. But for those who can, it's really worth thinking about how much are you spending on other things. While you were speaking, I was just looking at my bank statement and thinking, well, how much am I paying Disney Plus? How much am I paying Netflix? And it's quite a bit. I think if you look at what you spend on other, traditional streaming or subscription services, even I subscribe to the Salt Lake Tribune. How much am I giving to these other outlets? It's you start thinking, well, maybe I could do a little bit more for my station. And I look at UPR's website, you right there on the donation page, you can go monthly. This has been one of the most incredible responses that we've had at KRCL, has been over 400 people just in the last 10 days signed up or upped their sustaining membership. And as managers, it's really helpful to think, well, okay, I have cash flow under control, right? We all know that a big pledge drive helps us with our bottom line throughout the year for the budget. But I really encourage UPR supporters to think about, can you squeeze an extra couple bucks? I know that there are people out there giving more money to other outlets than our stations. That's fine. That's reality. I do it too. But think about how much you spend on a single trip to the movie theater and how much value UPR provides. I just think that a sustaining membership at upr.org is truly one of the best ways that people can have an impact. But it's also not just about our stations. We're not just all here to say, hey, come support public media and then go home and do nothing else. What do you get from public media? You get access to newsmakers. Think about the work that KPCW does to bring attention and support to all the other nonprofits in Park City through their pledge drives. They don't just raise money for themselves. We actually stole an idea from KPCW, and on our radioactive program on weeknights at 6 during the drive, we do a challenge match for good. So for every dollar we raised for KRCL between 6 and 7 on Monday this last week, Artes de Mexico got an equivalent in-kind amount of messaging on the station. So we kind of took that inspiration of KPCW that they do across their entire pledge drive and tried it out with Radioactive, and it's been a huge hit. People want to give to the station, and they love the idea that, for example, we just planted trees with Tree Utah. Every time people select, if they don't want a T-shirt, they can or another thank you gift, they can give through our partnership with Tree Utah, and we're going to be planting like over 40 new trees with Tree Utah as another form of thank you. So my point is, it's not just that you're giving to UPR today, it's that you're making sure that there continues to be this platform and amplification for all the people that Tom speaks with. Tom is a great interviewer, even though I'm not letting him get back to another question here because I'm sort of, soapboxing. I think that the access that UPR provides to so many voices from around the state is priceless. That's why I'm a member. And so I just really encourage people, squeeze a little bit of extra juice out of whatever fruit you've got. And if you cannot afford to give, they'll be back to regular programming in a week. And thankfully, there are those who can that can keep this service free. It's such an important thing. Back to what you said, Maria, about PBS Kids. Kids don't have money. I mean, my daughter has got a few bucks in her Yoda bank, but PBS Kids is there for her both, through the funding that our members support, and also through funding that's also going away, right? The Ready to Learn. Our country doesn't want our kids to be ready to learn anymore, so we're not going to have the same production value for all these programs. So we gotta really dig deep and figure out how can we fund these things locally if we're not going to have the support of, unfortunately, one, very powerful group politically.
Let me mention again, you mentioned a partnership with Trees. Let me mention a partnership we've got going under this fund drive. Post Consumer Brands, they have a plant in Tremonton, the local connection there. They're donating 2 boxes of cereal to the Utah Food Bank with every pledge that every donation that we get at Utah Public Radio. So we'd like to get the full 1,000 boxes of cereal. That means 500 donations during this fund drive. And so we hope we can get that with your help. UPR.org, UPR.org, or 800-826-1495. Just quickly, Sarah Irvin, before we go to break, I want to highlight the community aspect of all of us lean into community, right? KUAR and KRCL and KPCW. You're there. I'm impressed with the community focus there. Park City, right? Summit County. I think you get into Wasatch County as well. Talk to me about that community that you fostered.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, we are definitely a entirely community supported radio station. We are not affiliated with the university like UPR and KUER, and to that degree, our programming really is focused on what's happening here in Summit and Wasatch counties. We have a team of reporters who cover all aspects of both counties, And we bring in voices from the elected leadership at the city and county level throughout our broadcast region for weekly interviews. We have city and county managers coming in to preview what's coming up on county council dockets. We have planning commissioners on. We have representatives from our local school districts. We have leaders from local businesses, business owners, as well as leaders from local nonprofit organizations on, really for our local news show, which is called the Local News Hour. Every weekday morning, we have that combination of live local interviews with folks from around our broadcast area, telling our listeners, you know, what's happening that week, that month, what they can be on the lookout for in terms of decisions that their elected officials are getting ready to make, or, you know, issues that are in front of the school districts. And so we did the math on it actually during our most recent fundraising drive, and between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., 80% of our programming is entirely local. Between the hours of 9 a.m. and 10 p.m., it's 92% local. So we really are focused on elevating local voices, providing local information, and creating those opportunities to elevate our local partners, particularly in the nonprofit community. And I would say that that's something that public radio stations around Utah are poised to do in a really incredible way. And Gavin made the point that, you know, and Maria too, that, you know, we're public radio, which means that we are not, you know, we're not commercially supported the same way that other outlets are. We're not issuing news stories for, you know, click throughs on our website, or, you know, the most salacious headlines that might grab the attention of the most folks. We're providing news that is really important, but not always the kind of news that feels more like agenda driven. And so I think that's incredibly important to distinguish that difference between a not-for-profit news outlet like all of ours are and for-profit news outlets.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Again, the way to support Utah Public Radio, and again, cause two boxes of cereal to be given from Post Consumer Brands over to the Utah Food Bank. Just with your call, just with your donation, whatever amount today, we hope that you'll do that. And of course, many other reasons supporting Utah Public Radio as well. UPR.org, and 800-826-1495. We'll have more following this brief break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about public media today on the program. Loss of federal funding now. We're in a new world, and we're checking in with other stations in Utah that are equally affected. We have with us, Maria Amar, Executive Director of PBS Utah and KUER, Gavin Dahl, Executive Director of KRCL, and Sarah Irvin, Director of Development and Major Giving at KPCW. I guess if I thought of it, I should have had somebody on from KZMU in Moab, but they're under these challenges as well. I'd like to get a little personal with each of you next. We're all products of public media, right? That tends to be the case. You get sucked in and you never leave. For reasons that I hope you'll articulate. So, Maria Amara, reading from your bio, you started as an intern and then reporter, right?
Yeah, I was an intern at both of the stations that I now manage. So I started as an intern at KUER in the 1990s, was an intern briefly also at PBS Utah, then known as KUED. And then I was a pup reporter in the newsroom at KUER for some time. Always kept a relationship with the stations as a viewer and a listener, but it's wonderful to be back and advocating for public broadcasting in this moment. I am a product of the state of Utah. I grew up in a very rural part of the state. My parents were not from that part of the state, and they had probably a little more interest in cultural opportunities for me and my sisters. And to a very large degree, it was, you know, programming on KUER and on KUED that gave us, you know, access to the opera and the symphony and the ballet and amazing music and really deep and inspiring news. And so my, you know, My perspective is that this is just such a valuable service and has been for generations. It is so fun to talk to people, even younger than me, who now have their kids in the backseat, having this relationship with public media as well. It is really multi-generational. And I don't know about all of you, but we're hearing more and more people give not only for what they use, but also because they want the service to be there in the way that it was for them. We see it a lot in the kids programming at PBSUJA specifically. I mean, people feel very nostalgic about Sesame Street or about Mr. Rogers, and they want this kind of programming to still be available for either their kids or just kids generally. And they will give for that, which is really remarkable.
That is remarkable. Yeah. And helping other people out who may not be able to give. Right. Yeah. My parents had a kind of a similar experience growing up in Vernal. My dad was an opera buff. And in fact, I'll tell this brief anecdote. He would pack 8 kids in the station wagon, drive 3.5 hours to the opera in Salt Lake City. It wasn't remarkable to me at the time. I look back and I think, wow. That was
how many of you had to face backwards in that little rumble seat?
There was either 2 or 3 of us had to sit in the backwards.
Oh my
yeah,
gosh.
That's right. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's that little space between the rumble seat and the regular back seat. You get arrested for this now, but one of the small kids would go in there, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah. But anyway, so Dad was extra pleased when UPR came out to Vernal, right? He got to get all these resources. Yeah. Very much worth supporting. 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495 to support Utah Public Radio, upr.org. Gavin, you've done just about everything. I'll just read a few of your titles. You've been on college radio, production director, music director, programming coordinator, community broadcast coordinator, station liaison. You've been on a board of a station, executive director. Tell me a little bit about that background and how. Obviously, you've never left community yeah. radio, public radio. There's something there that attracts you.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, for me in my career, I believe you're 26 now in public broadcasting. But for me, it goes all the way back to my childhood and growing up in Seattle with really great radio. I mean, the rise of grunge and alternative rock, right, in the sweet spot of my childhood. And you know, Sir Mix-a-Lot and hip hop and R&B at the same time, oldies, you know, classic rock, etc. But classical. Seattle has a great classical station, King. But there's nothing more definitive in my commitment and future career in public radio than the Chimes of All Things Considered. My best friend's house, they had their local NPR and jazz station, which used to be called KPLU, was on every day, all day in their kitchen on a little FM radio above the kitchen window. And so we would come over after school and play there frequently. And that was that sound of All Things Considered starting to me was, you know, it's like a marker of quality of life, of critical thinking, of empathy and compassion, these things that are dirty words now, unfortunately, in our culture. And so that was really the beginning of kind of my eyes opening. I didn't know it at the time, but those Chimes of All Things Considered. And, Morning Edition, there was some controversy when they changed their theme and sort of updated their theme. I was hosting Morning Edition at the time and I preferred the old theme. But again, it's because of that nostalgia from childhood of particularly for me, the Chimes of ATC. And then in college radio, you know, the thing we learned was that anyone can be the media, right? And that's part of why I'm so passionate about KRCL. We've got 50 volunteer DJs, over 200 volunteers behind the scenes. And I think that while all of us are professionals and, you know, walking around the buzzing newsroom of KPCW in Park City, or attending an event with Doug Fabrizio and the Radio West team, you know, these things are elevating our culture and our critical thinking and, making us better citizens, civilians. But the community access is something very unique. You know, it's very funky. And I think the sort of, imperfection of, passing over the controls to your friends and neighbors is something that really means a lot to me. And it's, again, part of why I'm such a big UPR supporter as well. Even though you guys are a professionally run shop, Access Utah, Behind the Headlines, the work you've done across the state it brings people together who might not be represented otherwise, whose views get ignored. I don't think it's even a conspiracy. I don't think it's intentional. It's just resources. You guys provide an incredible amount of access to Utah. That's why it's such a good show. And then, of course, for me, I'm also an evening and weekend fan of UPR. In particular, you know, The Music Never Stopped, Into Jazz Time with Steve Williams. To me, John Florence and Steve Williams are two of the greats in Utah radio. But you also have shows like American Roots and E-Town. I mean, E-Town, I've been to E-Town Hall in Boulder. I know how much they care about trying to not only platform great up-and-coming musicians and create these magical moments, these driveway moments for radio listeners, but they also give back. E-Town is a huge force for good in Boulder and across the country. And so I think your programming mix on UPR is really effective. And I know that so many of your listeners agree with me. And, you know, I just, again, encourage people. We're not just here to talk about ourselves. We're also really encouraging you to give to UPR today. Make sure that we have these resources continue to thrive. You know, I don't think UPR's lights are going to go out if you don't call. But what will the cost be to the service, to the programs? And these shows are expensive. It is not free to carry NPR or any other of the national programs. It's also not free to produce the local programs. And so, folks, give to UPR.org. I'm going to shut up because I want to hear about Sarah's beginnings as well. But I mean, it's just we're here to ask you just a few times a year, right? Then we go back to regular programming. We won't interrupt you to beg again for a while. I promise.
UPR.org, UPR.org to give to UPR. Very critical. Ira Glass is calling this fund drive the most critical fund drive of our lives. And in ways it is, we're trying to see if this is doable without federal funding, right? With your help, it can be. UPR.org, UPR.org, or 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495. So Sarah Irvin, I think from California, right, to move to correct. Park City, and you started volunteering at KPCW, weekend DJ. Now you've taken on a role as development director. Did you listen to public media in California?
I did. Absolutely. I was, I grew up in Southern California, my hometown, and I use air quotes on town. My hometown stations were LA public radio stations, KPCC, which is now LAist, and KCRW. Loved those stations, was a loyal listener. However, Los Angeles is a big, big, big sort of, impersonal place at times. And as much as I loved the content they were providing, I never really necessarily felt connected to some of the news that they were talking about. And when we moved to Utah and started listening to the public radio stations here, it became incredibly apparent how much smaller and how much more impactful these stations were as far as connecting folks in our local communities and making a lot of these issues feel very relevant to our daily lives. I actually started listening to KPCW about 6 months before we made the move to Park City, just so I could become familiar with the area that I was moving to. And again, sort of that sense of connection was apparent from the minute I turned on the dial. And when I came into town, I came to the station and asked if they needed volunteers, thinking that they would maybe need someone to answer phones or help sort mail. And instead it was, hey, we need volunteer DJs. Would you like to be a DJ? And I said, well, I have no training whatsoever and no experience. And they said, that's no problem. We'll train you and we'll give you that experience on air. So that's how I started and played eclectic music and read public service announcements. We have one here in the Wasatch Back called the Lost and Found Report every hour. If you lose something, if you're hiking on our trail systems or, you know, you've visited Old Town Park City and you lost something, KPCW will help you get it back by putting it on our Lost and Found Report. And these are the types of connections that I think really are unique to Utah public radio stations in general, because we do have that personal touch point with folks and we do have voices that we bring on air that are from, you know, the house down the street or the shop owner up the street. So I think that level of connection is really incredible. And it's what really drew me in and made me proud to work for KPCW and part of this broader public radio network.
Well, yeah, you do great work. All of you do great work. We do appreciate you taking some time to be on with me today. We'll go to another brief break. We'll come back with more. We're talking with Maria Mara, who's Executive Director of PBS Utah and KUER, Gavin Dahl, Executive Director of KRCL, and Sarah Irvin, who's Director of Development at KPCW. More following this. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking about our loss of federal funding. We've been talking about that a lot. We're in the post-rescission world. After decades and decades, Maria Mara had mentioned 1967 was the founding of Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And, well, CPB is gone. That's kind of bad. We need to play some funereal music there. It's just gone. We don't know if it'll come back or not. For Utah Public Radio, that's $200,000 a year that we have to make up, and, you know, various amounts for the other stations we're talking to. We're talking with Maria Mara, Executive Director of PBS Utah and KUER, Gavin Dahl, Executive Director of KRCL, and Sarah Irvin, Director of Development and Major Giving at KPCW. So, Maria Mara, I wanted to talk about the system as a whole again. You're very plugged in. And we're worried about those very vulnerable stations. I mean, we're all vulnerable, right? But there are some stations that got 30% plus, 50% or whatever from CPB. And now are they going to be able to survive? What if you talk about, so fundraising is the most important thing, right? I'm talking to you right now. You're the most important factor, right? We need your money, quite frankly. UPR.org or 800-826-1495. Appreciate your support. But to reassure listeners, there are other things being tried, right, Maria Mara?
Yeah, I think that another really important place for us to make up this money is greater philanthropic giving, that large, those large gift amounts. I think that we're going to have to flex different muscles than we have before in terms of fundraising. And we noticed during this last drive when we appealed to people who are able to give at that $100 a month or more, we received a lot of, you know, response to that request as well. So I think that's going to be a really another really important way. But of course, we're in a time when a lot of very worthy causes have seen similar, if not more dramatic, losses in funding. And so there's a lot of need out there. And I think that's going to be really important. I have to say, too, we got to grow audiences. I think we've been very content to be small. And really, at the end of the day, we need to grow the base of our support. Those, we say it all the time, but those $5 and $10 a month gifts absolutely do make a difference. But I'm seeing a tremendous need in this moment for us to be able to be louder and prouder in the work that we do, to consider some targeted marketing. We did some research, and really only about 1 in 4 Utahns could tell you what public radio is or have heard of any of us. So there's great opportunities, I think, for us to tell our story better than we have before, because frankly, the landscape, the diaspora of media writ large is so big and it's so loud. And we've had a very calm, quiet voice, and we always will. That is our style. But we also need to get better at telling our own story and reminding people how trusted we have been for decades, for generations. You can actually say it for generations.
Generations, yeah. Very, very well said. Thank you. Gavin, before I ask you a similar question, I want to highlight community, right? And so you're community radio. You have a bunch of volunteers. I sometimes think, man, I don't know if I'd want your job. I don't know if it's like herding cats. It's, you know, it might be very, very, very talented cats. But I don't know. Yeah. I want to do this carefully because I don't want to reveal, you know, confidences. But I was very touched. I talked to you the other week. And you were reaching out to a volunteer to help that person, right? It is kind of a family there.
Oh yeah, I mean, and I have to say, whether or not this job is challenging, it is, but it's not because we're working with volunteers instead of professionals. In fact, in my 26 years in public broadcasting, I honestly think that KRCL is the lowest conflict, least toxic station I've ever worked at, and I'm not just saying that. We have just an amazing team here. And, you know, there is a sense that it is a little bit different than other workplaces in that way. But, you know, I'm also a big believer in what is sometimes referred to in personnel spaces as the frivolous 15. Have you guys ever heard of this, Maria? It's the frivolous 15 is the idea that, you know, a leader walks through a room and two of their employees are joking around or taking a movie quiz or doing something that's not their exact job. You don't want to be create a culture where people aren't allowed to be themselves and to have fun. And I don't mean we can sit around and do no work all day. I think there's a misperception that I'm just in my office listening to vinyl records all day, you know, coming up with my next radio show. I wish. I haven't even decorated. I don't even have all my stuff up in my new office yet. My point is, I think that the culture is really a big part of what the listeners experience. And so trying to build a place where people feel safe, I mean, that's something, you know, that hopefully none of our four stations or many stations, because Maria also, we haven't even talked about Avanza, their brilliant new idea to better reach bilingual English and Spanish speakers in the Salt Lake area. But we have got, you know, we've got a really big responsibility to keep serving these people. While I agree with Maria, we need to grow. And I'm shocked that three out of four Utahns don't know public broadcasting. But I think that the culture of each of our organizations is reflected in what you hear. And since I've been at the station 3 years now in Salt Lake, you know, the volunteers teach me more than I teach them, you know. And I think the bigger question is, what are we going to do about the future of education in public broadcasting? And the one thing I'll mention is, for 20 years, KRCL has partnered with SpyHop in Salt Lake City. And so that's the other thing, is it means that youth perspectives are not just an ingredient in the recipe of the station's thinking, but are also literally reflected on the air on Saturday nights. So we have teenage DJs every Saturday night at 9 o'clock, literally for 20 years. Just yesterday, I was eating pizza in Sugar House, and our server told me he was a former, we call them loudies, loud and clear youth radio volunteers. He was a former loudie, and he's gone on to really cool projects, doing music and working, you know, in Twitch and other online spaces around the world. And so I think that's another big thing we need to be thinking about is, you know, all of us are veterans now in this industry, but how are we gonna, you know, pass that torch? And I know that there's more to that story than just our little project with SpyHop, but that's just an example of another part of that breadth that we can bring is making sure that youth also have their voices amplified on our airwaves.
Sir Urban, our organizations, our stations, it's not only you know, broadcasting great programming, but we're employing people, right? And training people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Tom, I mean, I think, you know, you more than anyone right now can talk about the way that you're training, you know, students at your university, right? They're there, they're learning journalism, and they have the opportunity to learn right there in a real live studio, day in and day out. We have a lot of students from Summit and Wasatch counties who you know, head on to university, and they get their start by you know, listening to KPCW and then seeking out that opportunity to get real hands-on training when they're in college, because they're interested in journalism. They're interested in sort of the future of media. And I think that, you know, that you all are positioned incredibly to do that training, and it's something that that we should all be incredibly grateful for and supporting with our dollars.
And you can support Utah Public Radio with a call to 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495, or upr.org, upr.org. Just a few minutes left here, three or 4 minutes left. I'd like to just go quickly around the panel here, and give you just about a minute each to you know, to plug away. What's a big initiative that you're hoping to accomplish in the future? As an illustration that we hope that in a post-rescission world, we're not just retrenching, right? We hope that we can still you know, be somewhat ambitious. We can only do that with your help, right? And you can call 800-826-1495 to help UPR or upr.org. So Maria Amara, what is your hope that you can still raise enough funds to do?
Yeah, well, Gavin gave it a little preview, but we did a crazy thing and bought a radio station a couple of years ago, 88.3. we now have launched Avanza, which is as the first public radio station in the state, and probably among the first in the country, that is built specifically for a bilingual audience. We have some great Spanish language stations in the commercial sector, but we don't really have anywhere a commitment to second and third generation Latino listeners. Coming to them and sounding like them as their home sound is, which is a combination of English and Spanish and Spanglish. And we are so excited for the station and have received such an outpouring of community support. This is Latino music that we, a music discovery that we're providing, and also really wonderful public affairs programming as well. Just a little shout out. We would love to have you join our Avanza party on Thursday, October 2nd. We'll have a little toast to welcome the newest addition to public broadcasting in Utah.
All right. Yeah. Doing some great work there. Yeah. Thanks for that. Gavin, what's something you want to plug just as an illustration of the great work being done. And we hope that with the loss of federal funding, we're not just going to be pulling back.
Yeah, well, KRCL made a pretty major programming decision over the last couple of years to go entirely local. And so while I'm personally a huge fan and supporter, I told you I grew up my childhood listening to NPR, we decided not to continue our NPR membership. Of course, KUER airs many of the best programs here in Salt Lake, as well as UPR and KPCW doing very much the same. And so that decision was we were worried would be really controversial for us. And it turned out the response was overwhelmingly positive. People really come to KRCL as a bit of a respite from the sort of, the day in, day out news fatigue that can happen. But, you know, one of the other things that we had to decide is what we would do about the Grateful Dead Hour. We've been carrying that for years. The Tribune, when they wrote about our challenges with federal funding, you know, said KRCL is more than just for Grateful Dead fans. Well, what Grateful Dead Hour is a program we've aired on Sundays for many years. And so it's the last remaining syndicated show on our air. And in October, it will go away as well. We still will play the Grateful Dead on KRCL on many other shows. But that's because of our collaboration with Tom and UPR to create this program, The Music Never Stopped. John Florence has been the morning host on KRCL for more than a decade and has 50 years of broadcast experience as of 2024. And he's shifting his shift. And so we made that announcement. It's coming soon. He's doing his two final weeks as our morning DJ. He'll stay on our Saturday program. And The Music Never Stopped, which airs on UPR Sundays from 4 to 6, I highly recommend people check it out if you haven't, is coming to KRCL as well. At 6 p.m. starting October 12th. So that's a big change for us. That means we've got new morning hosts coming and an update to our afternoon schedule. And that whole launch will be coming out by next week ahead of that change in October. So just like UPR making a few tweaks to the schedule, we are doing the same. And Music Never Stopped is at kind of the top of that list. And so if for folks who listen to Access Utah who have not tuned in on Sunday, make sure that you check out the music programming Sunday, including Music Never Stopped, which KRCL provides to UPR as part of our long-term relationship. We're just so grateful to be friends with you, Tom, and Carrie, and Nick, and your whole team, and to be part of this really important long-standing institution that is these public airwaves being programmed by, like others here have said today, non-commercial, secular, educational licensees. And I think that's something that could go away much more easily than people realize. So the cuts to federal funding are just one of many steps planned by the critics of truth and of compassion and of understanding. And so let's stay diligent out there. And today, support UPR at upr.org.
UPR.org, UPR.org, or 800-826-1495, 800-826-1495. Yes, Music Never Stops, Sundays 4 to 6. Check it out. That's a great program from KRCL, heard on Utah Public Radio. Sir Irvin, just very briefly, what's something you'd like to highlight?
Absolutely. Maria alluded to it earlier with this idea of making, public radio relevant to newer and younger audiences. And that's something that we are all You know, all of our stations are working really hard to do, and we call it our digital evolution. We want to be everywhere that people want to receive their news and programming. So continuing to invest in our digital reach through our daily email newsletter, making it really easy to get the top headlines of the day. Our mobile app, we just recently did a full redesign, making it a lot easier for users to stream us on the go and take us with them when they're outside our broadcast area. And then one thing that we're working on right now that we're excited to launch is a daily, just very short and sweet daily local news podcast that could be part of everybody's morning routine to catch up on the local headlines from the previous 24 hours. We know that, you know, younger folks don't necessarily have their radio tuned in while they're driving. Some cars nowadays don't even have radio dials. So we know we need to be where everybody is digitally, and that's what we're really focused on. Social media as well, making sure that, you know, we're posting as frequently as possible with the limited resources that we have, but making ourselves as accessible to newer and younger generations.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been so great to talk with the other public radio stations in Utah and PBS as well. So we've had with us Maria O'Mara, Executive Director of PBS Utah and KUER. Maria, thank you so much.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thank you. Gavin Dahl, Executive Director of KRCL. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. And Sarah Irvin with KPCW. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you to all your listeners, and we hope you are getting your dialing fingers ready and hopping online to make your pledges.
800-826-1495. Thank you, and upr.org. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Access Utah.